Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special episode of the Money Tree Podcast, Holiday Season Edition. We're on break, but that doesn't mean that we don't have great stuff for you, because we've decided to have special episodes of the Money Tree Podcast, different than last year where we played past episodes. We're going to bring you episodes from all of our individual shows. As you may not know, if you're new to the Money Tree Investing Podcast, we are all podcasters that have other projects. And so during these 4 weeks, we're going to have special episodes. So that episode's coming up, but these are all brought to you by the Buzz Index. Have you ever wondered if there was a way to capitalize on all the online chatter, the millions of investors on social media? Well, guess what? Your wait's over, because the same artificial intelligence techniques used by some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds, well, that's now at your fingertips, and you can make their edge yours. The Buzz Index, licensed to an exchange-traded fund and trading under ticker symbol BUZ, provides investors with a portfolio of securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. They don't survey. They don't guess. Here's what they do instead. Buzz targets the most mentioned large cap U.S. stocks across the social media landscape. And as the conversation gets more active, well, the reliability of the buzz increases. Each of the most mentioned stocks is then given an insight score based on Buzz's proprietary analytics. And the 75 stocks with the most bullish score, those get included each month in the index. Invest in the wisdom of the crowd. Head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ for a link to the Buzz Index and more information. That's moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. Just a quick disclaimer. I invest personally in the Buzz Index. Doesn't make it right for you, but it fits our portfolio. Make sure you do your homework. All right, let's get this holiday edition of the Money Tree Podcast started.
Hey, Joe, thanks so much. I hope you have a fantastic holiday. I also want to thank everyone out there for listening to the Money Tree Podcast. You know, I do another show. It's called the Goldstein on Gelt Show. A lot of times, interestingly, people ask me, what the heck is that? Gelt is the Yiddish word for money, and the Goldstein on Gelt Show is a personal finance show. It includes great interviews with really, really super guests like my friends from the Money Tree Podcast, Miranda, Linda, and Joe, as well as many, many others. So as you're all hanging out and enjoying the holiday season, take a listen to a recent episode of the Goldstein on Gelt Show.
Happy birthday, dear Batsheva. That's my wife, for those of you who don't know. Happy birthday to you. I just went to a bakery. I bought my wife a big, fresh chocolate chip cookie. Had them wrap it up, and the clerk said, he said, surprise, yeah? I said, yeah, my wife, she's expecting a cruise.
You're listening to the Goldstein on Gelt Show with certified financial planner and best-selling author, Doug Goldstein.
One of the ways that people often come to me in my day job as a financial advisor is because they get an inheritance, and it's a lot of times their first time dealing with a huge amount of money. And sometimes it's a little bit strange. Like recently, a client got an inheritance worth about $800,000. But you know what? It was invested in two stocks. That's it. It'd done really well. Her father had done a fantastic job investing the money. Fantastic is not right, the right word. He was very lucky. He invested in these two stocks. He made a lot of money. The question then immediately arose, what do you do with it? So today's topic is, what do you do when you get an inheritance? And there are a number of things you have to do, a number of steps. In fact, I'm going to go through today 11 things you need to do when you get an inheritance. If you're not near a desk with a pen and paper and you can't take notes, I'll take the notes for you and I'll put up the one pager at the show notes of today's show. I will simply call it What to Do When You Get Inheritance. Just go to goldsteinongelt.com, go to the show notes of today's show, and you can download it for free there. The first thing you have to do is deal with any risk, if there is any. So in this case, $800,000 in two stocks is a high-risk position. I'm glad she came in. We spoke about it. Because her father had just passed away very recently, most of the capital gains, meaning most of the growth, had happened while he was still alive. The United States has this interesting concept, which is called a step-up-in-cost basis to the date of death. What does that mean? Well, let's say that he had sold these stocks before he died. And let's say he had originally invested about $50,000. If he had invested $50,000 and sold the stocks worth $800,000, he would have had to pay capital gains tax on the $750,000 profit. But on the day he died, that cost basis of $50,000 was reset to the value of the stock at the date of death, about $800,000. So by selling these two positions, his daughter, who inherited the stocks, actually had very little capital gains tax to pay. In fact, I think there was about nothing to pay on this position. So when you get an inheritance, number one, deal with the risk if there is any. The second thing that you want to do after you've dealt with the risk is pretty much do nothing. One of the problems that a lot of people have when they get an inheritance is they get all excited or they get all nervous or they think that now they're going to have to become experts in investing and they start doing too much. They start trading. They start speaking to too many people. They start getting advice from the wrong people. Take it easy. Put the money in the bank. Now, I know when money's in the bank, you get very, very little interest. I have spoken about that many times. Keeping things simple until you are emotionally ready to deal with the money, until you've had time to learn about it, until you've had time to find an advisor who can actually walk you through the process. Doing nothing is a great tool for people who are first timers at dealing with money. And even if you're not a first timer, but this is a large amount of money for you, just sit back. All right, just sit back. Hang on a second. I'm going to go through more on my list of the 11 things to do when you get an inheritance.
You're listening to the Goldstein on Gelt Show with certified financial planner Douglas Goldstein. www.goldsteinongelt.com.
Now let's hear from CPA Ron Zalbin with a tax tip on the Goldstein on Gelt Show.
Hi, I'm Ron Zalbin, a U.S. and Israeli CPA with the accounting firm of Abu Lafi Avital & Sharansky, with offices in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. In today's segment, I'd like to continue my previous discussions with you regarding year-end planning. If you're a corporate shareholder, one of the things that you have the ability to control, potentially, is dividends. Your corporation can declare dividends, and it will pay withholding tax at source. So if you own an Israeli company, you can decide to declare dividends before the end of the tax year, and that will be an income item for you on your personal return. Conversely, you could wait till another year in order to declare dividends. Depending on your situation, you may decide that you want to declare dividends in this year, or you may want to wait till next year. Some of the reasons that you may want to do this are because you may be in a low income tax bracket in a subsequent tax year, or that you may have a huge shareholder loan account that may need to be closed out, and you want to do that before the end of the tax year. For example, in the United States and also in Israel, if you have a large shareholder loan, that means you as a shareholder owe the company money. The country will consider this large shareholder loan as a deemed dividend. Israel, within the last year, came out with legislation that said if your shareholder loan account is more than 100,000 shekels, they have the right to reclassify this loan as a dividend. Other considerations that you should take into account is if you have an Israeli corporation and you have a certain amount of income, even though you'll get a full tax credit for the dividends on your U.S. return, you may be subject to another 3.8% tax in the United States. If you have any comments or questions about this, I can be reached at Ron at Aboulafia, that's aboulafia.co.il, or 02-629-4272.
Thanks so much, CPA Ron Zalbin, for today's Goldstein on Gelt Tax Tip. We were speaking a moment ago about what to do when you get an inheritance. First thing was deal with any risk. The second thing is do nothing. The third thing is if it's in an IRA, there are different rules. One of the mistakes that a lot of people make is when they inherit an IRA, which stands for Individual Retirement Account, or a 401k, which is a type of American retirement plan. They take the money. They call up the broker. They go, okay, listen, sell out and give me the money. And what they don't realize is that they have the choice to roll that IRA into what's called a beneficiary or a stretch IRA. I made a video about this because there's a lot of details on it. I will put a link to the video in my list of 11 things to do when you get an inheritance, which you can download that list for free. It is a list of the 11 things I'm going to talk to you about today in dealing with an inheritance. And just go to goldsteinongelt.com, go to the show notes of today's show, and you can get it there for free. Next thing, call a financial advisor. Since he deals with this kind of thing every day, and you probably only deal with getting an inheritance from a parent once or twice in a lifetime, having a good advisor who has experience in this is going to help you a lot. Next, don't start spending the money, or you'll burn through it.
If you are a longtime listener to the Goldstein and Gelt Show, you'll know that I've told many stories about people who've literally inherited millions of dollars and they spent it all. It's terrible when people do that. It's an opportunity, a financial opportunity when you get an inheritance to really change your life for the good. And if you don't do that, what happens? Well, you can actually change your life for the bad. All right, let me bring on my guest. Afterwards, I'm going to go through a few more of the points about what to do when you receive an inheritance. I mentioned before you can get a free download of this list while you're at the Goldstein on Gelt website. Please also sign up for our newsletter. And just to thank you for that, I'll send you a free copy of my book called The Retirement Planning Book. Stay tuned.
Get a free copy of the ebook version of Doug Goldstein's book, The Retirement Planning Book. All you need to do is sign up for the Goldstein on Gelt newsletter at www.goldsteinongelt.com.
Okay, I'm very excited to be talking with Brittany Castro. She is the founder and CEO of Financially Wise Women, based in Los Angeles. Her goal is to teach women and couples, in fact, the art of managing their money, and she says in kind of a fun and simple way. Brittany, I got to dive in with this question. If you talk about financially wise women, what are you doing with couples?
Oh, great question. I'm doing the same thing with couples. It's just usually the woman will find us first and schedule the initial call with our teams.
So why is that? Why do women find you first?
Well, one, I think the fact that we're marketing mainly to women is, you know, popping up in their Google searches. So it's like we actually are hoping that the woman is searching for a financial planner, women, and we naturally pop up and they immediately relate to our company and what they find online about us.
Got it. So let me ask you a question as one CFP to another. Both you and I are certified financial planners. I think our approach is very similar in the way we deal with clients in that we try to get them into the planning mode to think about their goals before they start trying to figure out what investments they should choose. One of the things I find today, even today, and I'm quite frankly a little bit surprised, is that the men still seem to kind of take charge of the meetings. Hey, it doesn't make sense. And I would have thought there'd be changes already. Is this your experience too, or is it maybe different in Israel compared to LA?
It's interesting that you say that, and it really depends on the couples themselves. But I would say that it actually is a little bit more toward the other way here in Los Angeles specifically. I think there's a lot of powerful women in the workplace and, you know, attorneys, professionals, they're kind of also leading in the financial discussions for the household. It doesn't mean it's the only way, but I definitely know that the type of clients that we're serving are the women who are seeking this information, want more help with the finances, and kind of the ones in charge of those financial management discussions.
Okay, great. So that on my side of the ocean, it seems to be a little bit more that the men try to take control. All the way on the West Coast, it's the women that take control. So I bet in New York, it's probably very 50-50, somewhere in the middle. So what are some of the issues then that you deal with specifically related to women in terms of investing?
With women specifically, I would say that a lot of women are really shy about this conversation with investing. And it's really interesting because a lot of the women I actually work with are investing in their 401k plans, retirement plans at work, but they still don't see that as an investment. And they still don't really even understand how it's going to help them reach their retirement goal. So I think there's just this overall sense that women don't really feel empowered with investing, don't really feel like they've found financial firms who help them learn the language of investing. Therefore, they're really lacking the confidence, even if they're already doing it. They still think they're not doing it or not doing enough. And a lot of what we're doing is educating women on this idea that investing can be easy. You can really enjoy it. You can be really good at it. And you already are doing it. So just acknowledge the fact that you're doing it already and take it to the next level and get more clarity about what you can do moving forward to enhance it, or more clarity on, you know, how to just take it to the next level in general.
We're talking with Brittany Castro, a certified financial planner. She's the founder and CEO of Financially Wise Women.
we've been talking about the way that women actually get involved in the investment world. And sometimes it seems, Brittany, the way you're describing it, they don't even realize how involved they are. And yet they really are. And they have to start making some more educated decisions. So if you're going to advise someone to start to do some really smart things right now, what would be the number one thing someone should do, I guess a man or a woman, who wants to make sure that she's going to have a financially secure future?
Of course, my answer is biased, but you'll appreciate it. Hire a certified financial planner. Right. I mean...
Well, tell me why. And obviously, I agree with you, but let's explain why that's important.
Well, the importance of it is a CFP professional, someone who's actually done extra studies and school, you know, education courses, sat for a board exam to get this designation. So usually what I find is these people are very passionate about financial planning and really helping their clients in all areas of their financial life, not just investing, not just insurance, not just saving. And to put it into perspective, I don't know what it is actually in Israel, but in the US, less than 20% of the financial advisors out there are certified financial planners. So there is a reason to work with a certified financial planner. And I think it's just because this person will help you look at the big picture, look at everything, look at what you're already doing with savings, investing, where you want to go financially speaking, and then just help you get there. A good certified financial planner is going to care enough to educate you on the solutions and help you figure out the right solution. And I think when you invest the time, money, and energy to hiring a certified financial planner, you also help prevent a lot of mistakes that could happen down the road with your investment plan or whatever it is, because you didn't have that clear picture and game plan that you were working on.
I think it's a great point about the education. This is, in fact, something that I learned from my mother, who was a financial advisor. She started 30, 40 years ago. In fact, she and I were partners for a while on Wall Street.
Wow.
This was before the whole CFP thing became big, but she somehow managed to understand this concept of educating clients. And when I started in the business, that's what she taught me. She said, you know something, as an advisor, you can't tell people which stocks are going to go up or down. You have no idea, right? We don't have prophecy. And we're here to service the client. But the real way to service the client is to get to know what his situation is and then give advice that makes sense for who he is. And don't let the brokerage firm try to push you to sell some product, and don't just sell the easiest thing. It's really seeing yourself as working for the client as opposed to working for the company. And I think that's what a lot of financial planners, obviously I think CFPs as well, but you know, people who really take the time to get to understand the client and educate the clients so that they ultimately are the ones making the right decisions. I'm with you on that.
Good. Yeah.
All right. So that was thing number one, hire a financial planner. That was the first thing. What's the second step that you would say that someone's going to end up doing who wants to have a financially secure future?
Definitely analyze your budget and get the right budgeting system in place. You know, this comes with a lot of emotions and behavior management, because I think this is pretty basic. We all know the fact that we need a budget to manage our money every month and really figure out how are we spending our dollars? Is it alignment with what we say is important to us? How do we find ways to save more money for the goals that we have? So I know this sounds basic, but the reality is most people still don't have a good budgeting system in place, and therefore they constantly struggle with this idea of I'm not saving enough, or I'm not even sure that what I'm saving is appropriate for the goals that I have, or I'm not even able to save at all because I'm mismanaging my funds. What I like to just remind clients that I work with is that a budget is simply a tool. It really just gives you more information. If you're not making enough money, it'll help you get clear about how much more money you need to make the budget work. Or if you are making the appropriate amount of money, but you're just misallocating the money towards things that aren't important to you, or reduce some of your expenses so that you can save a little bit more for those goals that you have, then the budget gives you that awareness to make those changes. But the hard part about a budget is it brings up the emotions of money. It gets very stressful for people. You know, there's a lot of anxiety and overwhelm that goes into budgets. And I think when you really can move past that and look at this budget as a tool, as something that's going to be around for the rest of your life, no matter how much money you're making now, then you begin to see it differently and you see it as a vehicle to refine the systems that you're already doing or get new systems in place to help set those appropriate boundaries and ways to prevent you from getting in your own way, basically.
Right. People often end up getting their own way and really end up ruining themselves financially. That's, of course, a huge topic that a lot of financial planners look at is to help people to develop a system for managing their money so it's not an emotional decision every time they have to choose something. Brittany, you know something? The two takeaways that I think people have today are working with a professional financial planner, a CFP, and also getting a good budget system in place. But I know that you actually have a lot more that you teach. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time now. Tell me, in the last few seconds, how can people follow you and follow your work?
Please visit me, financiallywisewomen.com, and that's plural. Just visit me and you'll see all my social media handles and you can schedule a time to connect with me. So we have tons of valuable information on our website.
Okay, we will put a link to that at the show notes of today's show at goldsteinongelt.com. Brittany Castro, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Doug, for having me. I appreciate being here.
You're listening to Certified Financial Planner Doug Goldstein, host of the Goldstein on Gelt show, www.goldsteinongelt.com.
I hope you enjoyed the interview. If, by the way, you liked the interview, make sure you go to YouTube and sign up for the Douglas Goldstein channel there. All of the interviews that I do, we convert into videos. We put them up on YouTube. But along with those videos, I also do the 4-minute money videos, which is one idea in 4 minutes about investing. And join 1,000 other people who've signed up to follow the videos that I produce. Again, just go to YouTube and look up Douglas Goldstein and sign up for the channel there. Before the interview, we talked about what to do when you get an inheritance. We said if there's any real risk situation, you got to deal with it. I said after that, pretty much do nothing. I mentioned that for people who have an IRA, who are inheriting an IRA, there are certain things you need to know, and I referred you to a video that I made. I think you should speak to a financial advisor who has experience in dealing with this. And finally, I said, don't start spending it so you don't accidentally burn through it. That leads us to number 6 in our list, which is pay off debt. Tons and tons of people have tons and tons of debt, too much debt. If you have been accumulating debt, you are very likely paying more for the debt than you could possibly imagine to make on your investing. I guess you can imagine anything, but credit card debt and high price debt, some of these are awful. And if you get an inheritance, you can use it to pay off that debt. Then you can start developing a real investment plan. Sit down with a financial planner or with someone who really knows what he's doing, whether it's you or a spouse or a friend or a professional. Develop a financial plan that allows you to invest the money. By doing that, you can actually grow this money, and it can affect not only how you're living today, but your retirement in the future. Number 8, consider tax issues. I made an important piece on the Rich as a King podcast. I wrote a book called Rich as a King, How the Strategies of Chess Can Be Applied to Investing. My co-author in that was world chess champion Susan Polgar. She was the first woman to become a grandmaster in the world of chess. And we speak a lot about strategic investing. And one of the most important strategies that people have to focus on in handling any part of their portfolio are the taxes. So in the podcast that we did, number 102, it's called How to Make the Most of an Inheritance and Deal with Estate Tax. You can find that at the richasaking.com website, or we'll just put a link to it, and I will include it in the one pager that you can download with a list of all of the things I'm talking about today for what to do when you deal with an inheritance. You can download that for free at goldsteinongelt.com. Just go to the show notes of today's show. Number 9 in the list. You received a nice inheritance. Now think about what you want to leave for your heirs. How are you going to invest the money to perhaps either protect it or to grow it or some of each so that ultimately your children or your heirs or your interests can get a piece of that money? And that leads to number 10, giving to charity. The wealthiest and most successful people I know are also huge donors to charity. This is an opportunity perhaps for you to reevaluate the way that you do charity and maybe even increase the amount of charity that you do. I often talk about a lecture I heard by Howard Jonas, who was one of the most successful entrepreneurs ever on the face of the earth. And in the lecture, he said that he and his wife give 20% of their earnings to charity. I heard this about 15 years ago, and I went home and I told my wife that I think we should be like Howard Jonas, and we started doing that too. And when I started talking to other people about it, I found out that it wasn't just in my case, but in lots and lots of people's cases, when they started to give more to charity, they ended up actually becoming more and more wealthy. Now, I look at it from a religious standpoint. You can look at it however you want, even from a psychological standpoint. people who see money as something they can give away are less emotionally tied to it and can probably make smarter decisions. Be that as it may, whatever you want to do about giving charity, I'm a big fan of people giving charity. Finally, number 11, you can actually adjust your lifestyle to the new reality of getting the money. I don't encourage you to radically change it because it'll probably make you or your kids a little weird, but if you do have a lot more money and more cash flow, the goal in life is not to die as rich as possible. You should enjoy the money if it means that now you can afford to go out to dinner a little more, to take a vacation a little more, to give more charity like we spoke about. It's okay to adjust your lifestyle in terms of the new financial reality. All right, that's it. Once again, please don't forget, download this list of 11 things you should do if you get an inheritance at goldsteinongelt.com. If you like the show, please be sure to leave a review at iTunes. If you also like the show and you just want to tell more people about it, that really helps a lot. By referring people to the show, I appreciate it, but you're really helping them. And I hope that now that you've listened through today's show and you've maybe listened to more than one, you want to help other people find out about it. Finally, if you're listening in Israel and you do have questions about handling your own portfolio in the States, or if you've received an inheritance from someone in the States, or you're even thinking about moving to Israel and you'd like to talk to me about your own situation, we are open for business in my day job as a financial advisor. So check it out at www.profile-financial.com. My company is called Profile Investment Services. Thanks so much to my engineer, Steve Stewart, to my producer, Yarmo Khanna, to the assistant producer, Noreen Armillo, to my creative consultant, Naomi Grossman, and of course, to Batsheva Goldstein, my wife, and she manages so much of the show, not the least of which is our really awesome website, goldsteinongelt.com, which is filled with all sorts of fantastic information. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm your host, Doug Goldstein. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Goldstein on Gelt Show with certified financial planner Douglas Goldstein. If you'd like your questions answered on the air or off, contact Doug by clicking on the Contact Us button at www.goldsteinongelt.com or send an email to doug@profile-financial.com. Before making any investment based on what you heard on the show, be sure to read the complete disclaimer at www.goldsteinongelt.com.
Thanks for listening to the special edition of the Money Tree Investing Podcast. You know, if you're looking for links to this special episode, you'll find those in our show notes at moneytreepodcast.com. And of course, we'll be talking about it online. Follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. This show was brought to you, like all our Money Tree podcasts, by the Buzz Index. Have you ever wondered if there were a way to capitalize on all the online chatter of everybody talking about stuff like investments on social media? Well, guess what? Your wait's over, because you can make those same artificial intelligence techniques that hedge funds use your edge. The Buzz Index is licensed to an exchange-traded fund, trades under ticker symbol BUZ, and it will give you portfolio securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. People online talking about it a lot. They don't survey. They don't guess. Instead, the Buzz targets the most mentioned large cap U.S. stocks. They apply their insight score, and each month, the 75 stocks with the most bullish score, those get included in the index. Also, if you head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ, not only can you find out more about investing, but you can also subscribe to the newsletter. Jamie Wise, the CEO over there, puts out a fantastic newsletter that will show you a lot about the ins and outs of how the Buzz Index work and who's talking more about investments online. moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. For more. Miranda, I'm not the only person here working overtime. Why don't you take it away?
Yes, make sure you remember to subscribe to the Money Tree Podcast at moneytreepodcast.com or by using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher. You can have episodes of the Money Tree Podcast delivered to you on your device of choice every single week. So thank you so much for joining us for this special holiday episode. And remember, no one will take care of your money as well as you do. So invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.